for some fall weather? Snow will work for me. Snow will work. Now, if you were talking to my kids in Illinois, snow wouldn't work. Dude, they started school like a month ago because they have so many snow days. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I got the cold. I don't like the hot. Well, I'm going to gripe. When it's cold, I'm griping because it's too cold. Man, where's the summertime? And then it's too hot, I'm just going to gripe just because I want to. So we've been talking about returning to the familiar. This is so fun how God does this. Last week at the end of service, Gay came up and said a little thing, and it set off John 9 to me. Remember, I just kind of mentioned it, John chapter 9. Which, by the way, John chapter 9 is your greatest evangelism tool you will ever have. Listen to me. It's so simple. So what happened was this week I thought, well, let me revisit that because it's one of my most favorite stories that ever had. So let's look at the story and then we'll talk about it. Here it is. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who'd been blind from birth. Rabbi, which means teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or because of the sins of his parents? And it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. So we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us, and the night's coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva, and spread the mud over the blind guy's eyes. And he told him, go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means to sin. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. And his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Now here's what's interesting to me. Of course it is. They can see him. But watch this. And some said he was, and others said, oh no, he just looks like him, really. But the beggar kept saying, yes, I'm the guy. This is greatness. This gets so good. They asked, well, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, the man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Why didn't they get excited? They said, well, where is he now? They asked. I don't know, he replied. I'm blind. Where I was. And then they took the man who had been blind to the church people. Why? So then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, and because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. Notice that it said on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. Sometimes we're never going to get our healing unless we can make the mud. I think that was pretty sometimes, folks. I'll let y'all marinate on that some other time. So he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. So some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath. This man is not from God because he is doing good on a day you're supposed to be resting. The church does this all the time. All the time. So the other said, but how could an ordinary sinner, not an extraordinary one, just an ordinary one, how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there was a deep division opinion among them. That will always happen. There's always going to be strong opinion. I'm not concerned about your opinion. I'm concerned about truth. And the truth is, the dude was blind, but now he sees. Period. End of story. You can opine how it happened. You can say, why did he use mud? Why didn't he use oil? Whatever. Anyway, let's keep on point here. So then the Pharisees again asked the man who'd been blind and demanded. They demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? What does it matter? Why does his opinion matter to the church? Seriously. Pay attention. Watch this. He says, What's your opinion of this man who healed you? And the man replied, well, I think he must be a prophet. And the Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called in his parents. And they asked him, is this your son? Is he born blind? If so, how can he now see? And his parents replied, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him, he's old enough to speak for himself. Duh. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that if anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah, they would be expelled from the church. See, you go get kicked out of the church for believing that Jesus heals. That's why they said, he's old enough, you ask him. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. And then the dude says, I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I do know this. I was blind and now I can see. There's your greatest testimony right there. I've used it forever. Quit being afraid to talk about Jesus to other people. Stop it. There's no reason to be afraid. My fear was always, well, it wasn't fear, it was just truth. Anytime I start talking about Jesus, because I was, most people that you talk about Jesus to knew you as a toot. And you probably was still a toot. So I'm talking about Jesus, and they would remind me of my tootiness. And so I would go, you know, well, you did this, and you said this, and you done this, and I saw this, and so, well, yeah, you're right. Got it. All I know is once I was a stupid 90-pound drug addict, stupid idiot, and now I'm not anymore. I was blind, but now I don't really, this opinion ain't about me, it's about Jesus. You can look at me all you want, I don't care, because it's not about me, it's about him. He's great, I'm not. Woo, get over it. There is freedom in knowing that, folks. You are nothing, you stink up to high heaven, but he's the greatest thing that has ever happened. And you can walk in it. And you can walk in it, and you can be proud to walk in it, because when people start saying, you, it ain't about me, it's about him. Seriously. So he says, I don't know, I was blind, now I can see. Well, what did he do? They asked. How did he heal you? What did he do? What did you do? Did you go to a certain healer? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you go here? Did you do this? Do you notice Jesus always healed people differently? The guy before him that was blind, he spit. Just regular spit. So this one he put mud in, the other one he just called it out. Why was he doing it differently every time? I'll tell you why. Because we get hung up on how it's getting done. We get hung up. So we know, well, I'm going to go to that faith healer. Well, he might have healed you last time, but he ain't going to heal you this time. God's going to be God. Because he is God. And he's bigger than me. He's bigger. Okay. Look, the man exclaimed, I told you once, didn't you hear me? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? They just spoke truth because they cursed. Then they cursed him. Now look at this. Hold up. This is church leadership. Hear me. This is church leadership who've just been called in on the carpet for truth. And they got so angry they cussed. Bastard! Isn't it amazing to you that people who you might slip of a tongue, and men they look at you, you call yourself a Christian, yet they do the same thing over and over? Let me tell you something. There's a difference between cussing and cursing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Saying damn it is cussing. Saying nigger is cursing. Do you hear me? Is that straight up enough for you? Because it's the truth. And I'm tired up to high heaven of people judging other people for whatever reason. It's silly. It's dumb. We need to learn what this man understood. I don't know what God did, how he did it, why he always does it. All I know is once I was not, and now I am. Man, that's powerful stuff. And I'm now even to my good part here. So, then they cursed him and said, you're his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he came from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's really, this is the blind guy still talking. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. And ever since the world began, no one's been able to open the eyes of somebody that's born blind. And if this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. Ooh, they're mad now. You were born a total sinner. Yes, he was, and so were you, sir. And so were you. We're all born into sin. When people want to argue with me about sin, you know, well, I was just born this way. Yes, you were. You were born that way because we were all born with a sin nature. Whatever that sin might be, pick your poison. It's all sin. You hear what I'm saying? Wow. So, he says, 34, thank you, Ms. Van Zandt. He says, you were born a total sinner. And they answered, are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. Who could now see? They threw him out. He would have been okay if he's still blind. Okay, I just wanted you to read the story. Now I want to tell you what I got this time. I told you, I just sit and stare at it for a while, and I'm like, Lord, we're revisiting the familiar. Make it bring something that's not been so familiar to me forever and ever and ever. You know, you back up where Jesus said it was nobody's fault, but so the power of God could be seen in him. We have always taken that to mean so the power of God could be seen in him after he was touched and healed. No. It's so the power could be seen in him in the midst of his blindness. Do you hear what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Here's my thought. I never really realized till just the last few years that God can be glorified through something that's broken. Right? Because I was always instructed and told and taught in church that I had to reach some kind of pinnacle. In fact, I was raised in the Assemblies of God, and I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm just saying, in the Assemblies of God, it's highly important about the speaking in other tongues. And once you've gotten to the point that you speak in other tongues, then you have arrived. That's not how they teach it, but that's how it was presented, and that's how we received it. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't verbalize it that way, but that was the ultimate. And what would throw me off is when I would see a guy speaking in tongues, and then his wife would come in with a black eye in church. And this is an exact example that happened, because I asked my mom as a 12-year-old child, because you're as a child, you're innocent. And I'm like, okay, well, he's speaking in tongues, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit? The power doesn't knock her crazy? You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you like the Apostle Paul, I speak in tongues more than you all. Because I do. I'm a tongue-talking machine, ladies and gentlemen. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in me, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there was power inside of that that I never had before. I want you to understand that very clearly. But I also want you to understand that if you have a motorcycle, and you start that puppy up, and you and your transmission ain't hooked up, you ain't going nowhere. You just making noise. The proof of the pudding is not that, you know, our whole training and teaching was the proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. No, it is not. The proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you walk right and you talk right and you live right and you do right only because you understand who Jesus is, not because of who you are. Do you get it? You will never walk right, talk right, do right and all that until you get it and understand it ain't about you, it's about him. It's all about him. He's the greatness, I'm the not. Oh, but when you walk in his greatness, just stay there for a while. It's very comfortable because you realize he's wrapped you. You don't wrap him. So, I'm on my notes here, sorry. I didn't realize God could glorify through something broken. So you know what that really means there for this guy that was blind? That really means that there was nothing wrong with him. See, we're always looking for something wrong with people, right? We're going to find something wrong with people because there's something in human nature, and it's our sinful nature, that we want to be better than somebody else. So we've got to find something wrong with you so that when I find something wrong with you, that makes me right. There's nothing wrong with being blind. In fact, let me make something extremely clear. The only person in this story that wasn't blind was the blind guy. Grab that. He's the only one. He's the only one, other than Jesus, obviously. He's the only one. The Pharisees are blind. The disciples are blind. They're all blind. The blind guy's blind. He's the only one who could see. And they kicked him out of the church because he could see. That's why we're non-denominational. We can't fit no denom right now. I don't think we'd fit in any denom right now. So that means there's nothing wrong with him. He's doing what God created him to do, incorporated in his blindness. Yes, Jesus healed him. Yes, he did. You know, do you notice something? Here's what's really cool about this story. The blind guy never said nothing till after he was healed. The guys walk up, the guy's blind, he hadn't said, "Jesus, heal me, God, Jesus, heal me." It says, what does it say? That Jesus saw this blind dude, and of course then the blind disciple said, "Well, who sinned? Who sinned? Well, who was it? Was it his parents? Or was it him? You know, come on, who did wrong?" The dude still hadn't said nothing, right? And Jesus said, "Well, you know, we've come and we've got to do this, and you know, I'm come to be the light of the world." And then the Bible says, and then he spit in the ground, made the mud pie. Guy still hadn't said nothing. Hadn't said nothing. Hadn't done nothing. Hadn't begged God. Hadn't lived his life right. Hadn't said a word. And Jesus sticks a mud in his eye, gives him instructions, go and wash. The guy still didn't say nothing. Just felt stupid. First time he said something was when they were saying, "Is it you?" "Yes, it's me." "Duh. You're the ones could see me before. I just know you by voice. And you don't know it's me?" Man, how dumb. So again, Jesus put mud in his eyes and he says to go, but wait a minute. This guy's got to be thinking, wait a minute. I still can't see. And now you've made it doubly harder for me to ever see. So what you have put on me is more than I could ever bear. But here's another thing that's important to understand. Jesus said, "Go." And the blind guy had been touched by Jesus, but he still hadn't been healed by Jesus. We have all these weird expectations, and we have all these understandings of how God and how Jesus is supposed to do things in our life. Well, you don't understand. I'll never forget. I was at church, and when Gay and I were going to school, there was this old guy, and the pastor preached a great sermon, and it was on healing and stuff, and the old guy had real, real thick glasses, and he's sitting in the back of the church, and he's happy, and he's shouting down, and he takes his glasses off, and he chunks them up to the front, right? And then at the end of service, he's crawling around up there trying to find his glasses. Do you get what I'm saying? God does things the way he does it. I am still not completely whole in areas of my life that I want to be completely whole in physically. It's not the point. It's not the point. God can be glorified in my blindness. You get it? So what did he have to do? He had to walk. He had to walk doubly blind. You know, go to Shalom. I didn't look up, and I probably should have, how the distance it was to go to Shalom, because the dude couldn't see. Now, he probably learned how to see without seeing, you know what I'm saying? Because you can kind of do. We all do that, by the way. If you're a man over 50, you're getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I know that's a fact. And so, and most of the time, you've learned where to walk, right? You don't have to turn no lights on. You know where to walk. You hit your knees on the toilet side, and you know where to stand, and you get it done. You go back. You haven't had to turn a light on at all. You're blind, but you can see. You get it? So that's how he knew to go to Siloam. But he had to walk in the dark in totally blind faith. Here's what's so cool. I didn't put this scripture on there. 2 Corinthians 5, it just says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So this is a primest example of this, because this guy literally didn't have any sight, and he literally was walking by the belief that this guy who put mud in my eye is speaking truth, so when I go to this water, I'm going to be healed. So, again, I said the only one who could see in this story is this blind guy. So as I was looking at this whole blind or see thing is really the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Our flesh, our human reasoning, and the spirit. Look at this scripture. This is kind of where it headed me to. So 2 Corinthians 10, we are human, yeah, but we don't wage war as humans do. See, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Logismos, you can tell that comes from the word logic, right? You get it? And it literally means reasoning that is hostile to Christian faith. Stop. It's reasoning that is hostile to Christian faith. So we knock down the strongholds of things that are hostile to Christian. What is Christian faith? Christian faith is not being upset about somebody's type of mud that they use. Christian faith is believing that Jesus said, "By my stripes you are healed," and you believe that. That's the truth, and that's what this is talking about. So he's saying we use God's mighty weapons And to destroy the false argument. What are the false arguments? The false arguments are that you got to do something to get what God has for you. That is dumb. You don't have to do anything but believe in Him. For God so loved the world that whoever believes. You quote it all the time, but you don't believe the belief. Believe. And I just love this because, again, this is the easy way to tell somebody about Jesus. Dude, you don't got to point out people's fault. What makes it? It's that nature that wants to be better. You know, if you will, no, sir, it is not if you will. Jesus said, come whosoever will. And He says, if you want to do some if yous, it's if you confess that you believe that He was raised from the dead, you're good to go. But we want to attach to it, and we want to make it, and we want to go do all this, and it's just very simple. So we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey, which is where the hupakaoe is the verb form of the obey above it, which is the noun. So, and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully, totally, completely submitted to the requirements of Christianity, which are what? That's exactly what this means. You have to be submitted to the requirements of Christianity, which are what? Belief in Jesus Christ, period, end of story. What do you mean end of story? I mean believe in everything that He said. Believe that when He died and He went to the cross and He took care of all of your sins, not only he didn't cover your sins like in the Old Testament, but the Bible says very clearly that He took away the sins of the world. That you believe that you are stinking, awful, holy, unholy, not righteous at all, but God declares you righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what you believe. That's what the Word says, and the Word screams it. And when the Word scream something, you need to listen. Man, I had a college professor that told me the greatest thing. He said, if the Bible speaks softly on something, speak softly. If the Bible says it a little bit stronger, say it a little bit stronger. But if the Bible screams it, then scream it. The Bible does not scream what has been being screamed all across the world. We got people in the pulpit right now that are screaming hatred. All in the name of Jesus. Holy smoke. The parson shouted, and in the rush he lost his hair. And now his head resembles heaven, for there will be no parting there, no parting. Wow, that's squirrel. Sorry. That's your ADD pastor, ABHQ pastor, whatever the right ones are. And Gay's trying to get me back on point. You notice now, back in the day, she would like be real like discreet. Now she looks at me and went, I get it. So that you become fully submitted to the requirements of Christianity, and we will punish. That word punish is not the right word. In fact, I think I wrote this down because I didn't write it. That word punish literally means, this is interesting, literally means to protect, to defend, to acquit. To protect, to defend, to acquit. So we will punish, which is not what it means, I don't know what it means, everyone who remains disobedient. Again, parakao, see the same word up there, this is the par part, where it says you're unwilling to hear and wrong hearing. The bottom line is this. The battle is between the flesh and the spirit, which is the battle is between the blind and those who have sight. One side is blind, which incorporates law, religion, and theology. The other side is sight, which incorporates grace, relationship, and experience. I want to say it again. Jake said, write some things down. Write it down. One side is blind, law, religion, theology. One side is CC, grace, relationship, and experience. So that's the question, blind or see. So they asked the question, who sinned, this man or his parents? So the disciples were blind, right? So here's the thought. If I'm healthy, then I must be okay with God. But if I'm not, then I must not be okay with God. You've been there. Come on, let's be honest. Oh, Lord, I lived there. I lived there for years and years and years. Whatever's wrong with me is because of something I did wrong. Whatever's right with me is because of something I did right. So the disciples were blind because they saw a theological debate. Oh, this is great fodder. This is great fodder in seminary. Man, you can run a whole class, a full class on, on the decisions that they want to, who is the sinner one? The blind guy, who is the sinner one? So they saw the theological debate. Jesus saw somebody in whom the work of God could be seen. So here's the question, because we always say it, and we say we believe it, but do we? Sickness isn't punishment for sin, or is it? Don't we judge others for the sickness of their soul? That teen mother who struggles with parenthood should have been married? Oh, is this getting down to brass tacks right here, isn't it? That alcoholic loses his family and job and deserves the devastation. After all, he's just reaping what he sowed. Right? Come on. That's a good Christian. There are, for those of you who want to throw rocks, there are consequences for our actions. But God kind of determines those, not us. You get it? So blind judgment versus healing experience. See, it's easier to judge others than it is to heal others. We should be instruments of healing, not finger pointing. So instead of condemning the teenage mom, what if the church offered help and encouragement to ensure she knows God's love? Instead of shaking our heads and our fists at the alcoholic, what if the church became a safe haven of hope for the strugglers? What if I wrote this? I just wanted this quote to be said. I'll tell you what would happen. The world and its people would see the church as a place to be healed and not a place to be judged. A place where Jesus could be experienced and not just talked about. I am worn out with pastors that are talking about Jesus and not loving like Jesus. I'm worn out with it. You know, Jesus loves you. Does he really? Will you give that kind of love? I'm good. Yeah, thanks. I'm going to keep going. So then here you go. Here's another, my next thought that came to me. The blind doubt, those with sight believe. Have you ever said this? Boy, that made a believer out of me. You ever said that? I unfortunately, mine's over like food. First time we ever went to Riata's, we had heard that the prices weren't that bad and that it was pretty tasty, so we went to Riata's, and I'll never forget the first time I was there. I actually ordered the chili relleno. And you can't, it was weird. You can't find chili rellenos pretty much and a whole lot of Mexican food. Isn't that weird? But anyway, so I ordered that. I can't remember what my wife ordered. Bottom line is, wow. And again, the prices were similar, maybe a couple bucks more than Hofbräu. And so I had that, and then I'm like, well, I'll try something. I tried that mac and cheese, and then, well, you know, for dessert, you got to try. Well, yeah, you got to have dessert, you know, because it's cheap enough. And so I had the those tacos they have. They actually have dessert tacos. Yes, they do, John. And I ate them, and I ate every one of them. I even stole one off of Gay's plate when she wasn't looking. I'm confessing. I give me some beads, I'll be fine. Exactly. The point is, walked out of there, that place made a believer out of me. And I went back because it made a believer out of me. Listen, when you start experiencing Jesus, it will make a believer out of you. Instead of taking him for what other people have told you he is, I told you when I was raised, they didn't say it this way, but this is how I viewed God, as that 800,000-pound eyeball ever searching the earth to see me do one thing wrong so that he could squash me like a bug and send me to hell. They never said it that way. That's how Steve perceived it. That's as a child. Children are different. Let me tell you something. We had a child that lived next door to us, Gay and I did, in college. I'm laughing because this is terrible, but it's funny. This little girl, you know, they were her parents. There's no Santa, there's no tooth, there's nothing like that, right? So she comes up to me, I'm looking here, and they're all in there. So the little girl, she's just the sweetest little thing. And dumb me, I didn't know, and I just went up there and said, huh? She was 4 years old, and I said, what was her name? Melissa, she knows that. So I said, Melissa, what's Santa going to bring you for Christmas? And she looks at me and goes, Santa's dead. And I said, oh my. How did he die? And she said, he got hit by a bus. I promise you, her parents never ever said he was dead. nor ever said he got hit by a bus. Do you get what I'm saying? She just had come up in her own little brain of exactly how it had to happen. We do that with Jesus all the time. We get our concept of Jesus through other people's, without experiencing him, we get this concept of him, so we think that he's up there, this heavy-handed God that expects us to do all this stuff, when the truth is all he wants to do is hold you and tell you how awesome you are because of what his son did for you. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. And boy, if we could just share that truth of God, rather than, a lot of people think that God died and he got hit by a bus. So, notice his friends in the church were skeptical that he was really healed. Now here's me. Or were they really skeptical? Or did they just choose to remain blind? Because sometimes I think it's more convenient to do that. It certainly can be less painful to do that. I'm going to read you some scripture and then I'll have them catch up. I didn't give them this part. I just want to read to you. Here's what happened. Here's the scenario I'm going to set up for the scripture I'm going to show you. It says, some Pharisees excuse me, and teachers of religious law now had arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And by the way, when they came to see him, they didn't come to see no healing, no nothing. They came to find something wrong with him. And so they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. This drove the church leaders crazy, that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. It's you, mama, who your son's been, they've been outside and stuff, and you're like, did you wash your hands? Yes, I did, and you look at them, and no, they didn't.
Go wash your hands, boy, before you eat.
This is, they were angry about this, and so they said, so why do they do that, they asked him. And then, so Jesus responds with a question with a question. Sometimes it's smart to answer a question with a question. It's my, honey, does this dress make my rear end look big? And you answer it with a question. Do I look dumb? You get it. So sometimes it's good to answer a question with a question. So they asked the question, why do your disciples disobey age-old tradition? Or they said, why does your disciples disobey this age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. And Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, those people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commandments of God. I can stand here all day and give you man-made commandments that have been given us over the years that have nothing to do with God. I can. I won't bother you with it. Anytime you're feeling guilty and yucky, just whatever that thought is, that's what was been told you. So, now watch this. So he said, their worship is a farce, and they've been made man-made ideas as commandments from God. Now, here's the scripture. Just caught you up. So then Jesus called to the crowd to come and listen. He said, and try to understand. Remember, he's just talking about washing your hands. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth and the stuff you post on Facebook. Now, that's my version because it's true. The word says very clear, from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. I'm driving along and somebody cuts me off in traffic and I might throw a bomb at them. I might throw a finger or whatever. You get what I'm saying? From the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. That was from my mind. When I've almost gotten in a car wreck, and I have on occasion, I mean, where it was like I thought I was going to die, the first words out of my mouth was, Jesus! There's a difference. So, he says, not what goes into your mouth that defiles you or what defiles are the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and said, don't you realize you just offended the Pharisees for what you said? You just offended the church. You just offended everybody, Jesus. Here's, look at Jesus' response. Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another blind person, they will both fall into a ditch because they're blind. See, here's what happens, guys. Religion, which, by the way, religion is a system of beliefs. Listen, religion is a system of beliefs. Evolution is a religion. Atheism is a religion. It's a system of belief. Well, theirs is a system of unbelief. But as I tell every atheist, and I have a couple atheist friends, and they actually like me. But then I tell them, the proof that there is God is your religion. Well, it's not a religion. Yes, it is. Because if there wasn't a God, you wouldn't have a God not to believe in. And they like, why? Say that again. I said, because if there wasn't a God, you wouldn't have a God not to believe in. And then they walk away. But they still love me. Because, as Steve so eloquently said, because I love them. See, that's the coolest thing about Jesus. When you start receiving the depth of his love, you'll be able to love other people in that realm. You really will. So, the Pharisees, see, Jesus wasn't God to them because he healed on the Sabbath. Because he didn't do it the way that they had determined it had to be done. Because though God told us that we are to have this day of rest, they had added so much stuff to that, you couldn't do anything. And here's what's so funny, but then you could do everything. That's the funny thing about how this works when you're going to walk with some kind of list of system. See, you cannot even take your dog for a walk. However, if their own dog fell in the ditch on a Sunday or a Saturday for them, they would be in the midst getting theirs out, and they would be justifying it somehow. See, you have to justify when you got all the laws and the rules and the regulations. When you walk in Jesus, all you got to do is believe what he said is true, and what he did is true, and it is true. And yes, there's tons of stuff that you need to do, but those things are the things that are grown from the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit that are grown in us, and they're walked out in us, the love, the joy, the peace. If you're not walking in love, if you have no joy, if you don't have peace, I question if you know Jesus. Wow, Steve, that's so heavy duty. I don't mean it to be heavy duty. I want people to walk in peace and in love and in honest to goodness life. He said, I came to give you Zoe life and to give it to you hooper, super duper, extended above everything you could ask or think. Abundance is what that word means. It's called hooper something, hooper super duper. I'll have to look it up for you like it matters to you. But anyway, so. Where am I? Oh, I already did that. You're right. So the Pharisees, Jesus wasn't of God because he healed on the Sabbath. The blind guy, who actually is the one who could see, couldn't understand why the Pharisees didn't get it. You see, because blind people don't get it because they haven't experienced Jesus. They just don't get it. They were religious, but the blind guy had just experienced Jesus. That's why he couldn't wrap his brain around why somebody couldn't accept the fact, dude, I've been blind forever. He didn't say how old he was, but his parents said he was of age, so he's probably in his 30s. I've been blind for 30 years. I've never seen in my life, and now I can see. I don't get why you don't get it. And in their blind thinking, they're saying, we don't get why you get it. I don't care if you were blind. He didn't do it the way he was supposed to do it. I don't care how he does it, do you? I just want it to be done. I'm telling you, man, do it the way you do it. And it does upset people who don't, especially, and I'm telling you, I believe there's a flood of, listen, this next thing that we're walking in, we're in the manifestation of the grace period of Jesus. That's where we are, and that's the last one to come. We are in the very last days. Incorporated in that is I firmly believe that the revival, which I don't think we should call it revival, I think it's going to be a renewal of what's been lying dead in us for years. A renewal is going to happen through this Benjamin generation, which is Benjamin, is again, represents grace, and it's going to happen through, and it's going to be these young bucks, man, these young kids, and those of us who've known Jesus forever are going to make you mad. It's going to make you mad. You've been praying for folks for 150 years. They walk up and touch somebody, and they got the smell of liquor on their breath, and God heals them. And you're going to stand back and say, oh, God didn't heal him because you smell like liquor. It's the same thing. See, now I'm getting it to home. So, oh, you sin, I can drink? Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Again, the Bible screams and screams. The Bible does talk more about food, eating too much food, than it does about drinking too much. It does talk about drinking too much, though. Hear me? Don't look at that wine. Well, I don't do wine, dude. I'm a beer guy. I've heard it all in my years of experience. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line is, something got a hold of you, or you got a hold of something. That's in whatever your poison is. Ladies, that could be your soap operas if they still show them. Fellas, that could be, being hung up on all kinds of sports. And again, I've learned through my life, there's been times where God brought correction in my life. Man, there was about 1977, I'll never forget it. Couldn't watch a Cowboy game, and that's back when they were worth watching. You know, I haven't watched a game this year because I only watch it. I am a diehard Cowboy fan. This is what aggravates me about you young bucks. You don't even know what Cowboyism is. You weren't even alive when Troy Aikman was doing his thing. I cried like a baby when we had the Ice Bowl in 1963, and we lost it on the last play of the game because Bart Starr came over the top of Jerry Kramer, who moved our guys out of the way, and they scored a touchdown. I cried like a baby. Don't be giving me I am a Cowboy fan. I'm such a Cowboy fan, I can't watch it when they lose. I record every game. Haven't got to watch one yet this season because they can't even win a preseason game. Tell my wife, I don't know. 3 years ago when they were 3-13, John, I watched 3 games. When they were 13-3, I got to watch 13 games. Oh, you're not a fan? Yes, I am. I'm more fan you ever know. Josh Zapata. I just had to throw that out because he's, they're all cowboyed up today. Oh, because the game's tonight, right? Are you going to the game? Oh, are you really? So are they going to win a preseason game? Do you know they're not going to play any? The guy's supposed to be the practice, supposed to be the warm. They ain't going to do it. Did you hear that? That's exactly right. I told my wife, but the first team looks good. Yeah, and then when we get one injury, those third stringers become first stringers, and then what? Whatever. Sorry, this is talking about this passion. It's an addiction. So, I want you to see the truth in this, guys. The Pharisees were just as passionate about what their belief system was as the dude that got healed. Do you hear me? The dude that got healed couldn't, I get it. You couldn't understand why, I couldn't wrap my brain around why you wouldn't be happy for me because I'm not blind. And they can't understand why he thinks that Jesus was a good person because he didn't do it the way they determined it was supposed to be done. So, here's my conclusion. I have two scriptures. Here's my first one. If, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, if the good news, euangelion, which literally means the good news of Christ and what he did on the cross, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Listen to me. Until you understand this good news and you believe this good news and you believe everything about this good news, that Christ did what he said he would do. I said it last week, I'll say it till I'm dead. That when God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly self. When he looks at the cross, you are on that cross and you are ugly when he looks at that cross. But then when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Do you get it? Because it's true. He sees it. That's why, I don't deserve it. No, you don't. But who is he seeing? I don't deserve to be healed. I've been smoking for 48 years and I've got lung. I don't deserve to be healed. Oh, you're right, you don't. But who does God see when he looks at you? Jesus. Holy smoke. No pun intended. True. That's very good. So, it's the good news. They're unable to see the good news. So they don't understand this message about the glory. Remember what glory means. The glory of Christ. The opinion of Christ, the greatness of Christ, the adoration of Christ. It's just this incorporated word of the reputation, your opinion of him, all of this. That's what the glory means. So they don't understand about this Christ, who's the exact likeness of God. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Folks, you've got tons of folks who will proclaim there's God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Oh, he was a good man, yeah. The blind guy thought maybe he was a prophet, but then as he began to think it through, he realized, dude, that's got to be the Son of God. Did you see how he kind of walked his way into that? Because at first he said, well, I guess he's a prophet. Then they asked him again. He's like, you don't get it? I'm getting it now. He was understanding it then. So they were unaware of the glory of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So, Steve Van Zandt, I hear you. You're really getting, there's something stirring inside of me right now. I'm feeling this. There's something stirring inside of you right now, but I want to put my finger on it. I want to grasp what you're saying. I want to believe what you're telling me to believe, but it's kind of hard to believe. Let's look at this scripture here. Watch this. And so, he's talking to the Romans. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. Stop. And that's where we preached it forever and stopped. Give your God, you got to give your body to God, and you got to do this and do that. And you, man, read it in context, please, or you will be conned. Look, so could we keep going? Sure we can, Steve. You got it up there. Here it is. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. That includes church customs, ladies and gentlemen. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God metamorpho. You guys should know this word by heart by now. But let God transform you. Metamorphosis, that's that transformation. Let him transform you into a new person. How? I want to be that new person. How? Let him change the way that you think. It's the way that we think. We think we've got to do something right so that he'll do right for us. We think we can't do anything wrong or he'll do wrong to us. Let him change the way you think. Look what that word means. Anakonosis, nous. Two words in that incorporated in changing the way you think. And it means the renewal, a complete renovation of our understanding. We forever have understood that we had to do something to get to the point to where Jesus was going to accept us and love us and give us value. We have thought that forever. We've been taught that forever, and it's forever wrong. The truth is, let him renovate your understanding that it's all about who he is and not about who you are, that it's all about what he did on the cross, not about what you can do outside of the cross. It's all about staying in him and not staying in the world. Listen to me. It's all about not being Adam, but being the second one in Jesus, because in Adam is where we got all that sin, and it wasn't our fault. It was Adam's fault. And why are we stuck with this sinful nature? Because Adam did it to us and all that. We don't deserve this because we didn't do anything to deserve this. Well, let's go over here to Jesus and say the identical words. I didn't do anything to deserve this righteousness. You didn't. You're right, you didn't. So you want to just... And then we got people who try to go back and forth. You can't go back and forth there. You can't do 99% and 1%. Man, it's all about him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The word says that, not me. I didn't make it up. I am the righteousness of God in him, in him, in him. In the world, and in the cuss. Do you see it? Do you see it where it says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world? We've been taught that is, man, back in my day, it was women, you know, you had to have your dresses long, dresses high, dress short, stack your hair, no makeup, no jewelry. I remember that. I was born in that stuff. I was raised in that stuff where they would take your jewelry off and probably sell it if they had eBay. And you take your jewelry off and your hair, you had to have your head covered with your hair. So you'd stack them up in the Tower of Bethel look, what we called it when I was a child. Tower of Bethel, I'm serious. And then the Leaning Tower of Pisa would come in sometimes because It'd be kind of cocked to the side. And we sat in the back and just mocked the whole thing and then felt fear because we're getting killed from the pulpit, you know. So the next Sunday, we're like, man, don't talk about that. Don't talk. Oh, but look at that. You know, all of that in the name of holiness. That's what we've been. That's what, do you get it? Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let Jesus transform you by the renewing of your phronio, your mind, the way that you think. And he does it. He'll do it. And I waited, God, it took me years to allow that to honestly happen in my life. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I am set free. So that anybody can say anything. Are you really a pastor? Yes, I am. And I apologize for that. No. You know, I don't like to tell people what I do for a living because they don't believe what I do for a living. They're like, oh, come on, you don't do that. Yes, I do. And it's not because they see me as this ugly person. I'm always kidding you and telling them I'm flipping people off and all that. Back in the day, that was true. Back when I walked underneath, the law gives sin its power, the word says. The law gives sin its power. So when I walked underneath the heaviness of me having to do something to make sure my life was lined up, and if I did something wrong, I had to, man, I was terrible like that, especially in traffic. I mean, I'm really not that way now. You know, I always use it as an example, but I'm really not that way now. But that's through the grace of Jesus. Because back in those days, then I would do something bad. Oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Oh, forgive my sins, my omission sins, my transmission sins, all my sins. And all my sins. And the whole time he's tapping on my shoulder, I took care of that on the cross. Steve, shut up! I wasn't crippled for you. I died for you. And I took care of all of that on the cross. So, how did that set me free? It set me free to understand the depth of the love that he has for me. And so when you start understanding the depth of the love that he has for you, you can't help but want to walk with him and not do the customs and the thing, because you understand. And if you really get how much he loves you, you're going to understand how much he loves other people. Other people. Those people you can't stand. This is how I can test my faith, if you will, by the amount of people that has aggravated me in the past no longer aggravate me. And I promise you, it's not because they changed. It's because I changed. I'm not bragging. I'm being honest. And, you know, now that I said that, God's going to throw another one in my life this week. I'm telling you. By Tuesday, there will be a blast from the past. Man, I haven't seen you in 40 years, Steve. And I'll be like, you know, I look up and God winks, you know. I'm like, okay, yeah, hey, of course I want to go to lunch with you. No, you can't speak at my church. All right, I'm done, Mrs. Van Zandt. Bring up that mop. He's good. I'm not. Get over it.
Whether we realize it or not, he shared that there are two kinds of blind. We're blind sometimes to how good God is, and we're blinded by people's opinions, and we're blinded by our opinion of ourselves or someone else. And I just want to know today, is there anybody in here who wants to see truth? Is there anybody in here who wants to not be blind anymore to who God is? If that's you, I want you to stand with me, because I don't want to be blind. I want to see God for who he is. I want to receive his opinion of me so that I'm not believing what my mind tells me, what the voice in the night tells me, but what he tells me. And here's the interesting thing. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Do you know that in the darkness, sometimes all you can do is hear? The man who was blind didn't need his sight to be made whole. He had to hear. And when we hear the word like we heard it today, we're going to be healed. Amen. We're going to be set free. Amen. Because God is not wanting to leave us desperate, destitute and depressed, but he is wanting to set us free. There's a little song that says, set free to worship. I'm set free to worship. I'm set free to praise him forevermore. I'll laugh, I'll dance, I'll jump, I'll sing. Hallelujah, amen, let his praises ring. I'm set free to worship forevermore. And I want you to know today that those who came down in worship were already set free before the service started. I want to encourage you, go where nobody can see you and get set free so that you can be set free quicker. Practice getting into his presence so you can hear his voice, so he'll go, you're okay, come on over here. Because if you don't believe you are, you won't go to him. And then when we're getting there, I want you to do a second thing. And this is really important. I want you to begin to pray for people that you know love the Lord and have lost their way. Don't judge them. Don't talk about them. Well, they're here because they're... No, love those people and begin to call them home. Can you do that? I'm saying that when I'm praying, Lord, I just call them home. I call them home because he's our home. He's our home. Lord, today we just thank you, God. Not only, God, have you been doing miracles that are recorded, but you're doing things inside of us, God, and because of our shame, we don't even let people know how great you've been to us because we're afraid they'll see us instead of you. God, get me out of fear so that people can see you instead of me. Let me be a testimony, God, because I changed my mind about what I can do and I can believe you. Today, God, we speak life over every person in this room, God. I speak life over every person, God, who is fearful. I ask right now, Father, that you would move them into the places of victory. And God, that we can have victory by your love, receiving it and giving it. We call them home, God. We call them home today. Whether we did it right or not, God, whether we were a part of their healing or their hurting, I'm asking you to call them home today, God, to you, our love. And God, speak to your people. Speak to your people, God, that we can hear you and care more about being healed than how it happened. We thank you for that today, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. He's a good God. Listen, the ladies or someone's going to be selling those barbecue tickets. I just want to give God a praise report because it's on my heart. Not just if every family, but if every adult would give $100. And if you want to give it market building, you'll get giving credit for it. But if you want to buy 10 tickets and give them out to people who don't go to church, do that. But let's get this building done. And I want you to know that we had two people this week that don't attend this church. Yeah, don't live in this city. One out of state. I got two checks for $1,000 from two people. And it just blessed my heart because, see, God knows what we can't do, but that doesn't excuse us from doing what we should do. Amen? He'll make the difference. Let's just do what we need to do, and let's invite people to find his love. Amen? Amen. God bless you.